Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion on rethinking virtualization. We'll look at a series of three important considerations when moving to enterprise virtualization adoption. First, the ability to manage and control how interconnections impact virtualization will be investigated. Interconnections play a large role in allowing physical servers to support multiple virtual servers, which themselves need multiple network connections. The connections themselves can be virtualized, and we're going to learn how HP Virtual Connect is being used to solve these problems. Secondly, we're going to examine the role and importance of configuration management databases in deploying virtualized servers in production. When we scale virtualized instances of servers, we need to think about centralized configuration. It really helps in bringing management to this crucial part of preventing server sprawl and an unwieldy complexity that can often impact the cost of virtualization projects. Lastly, we're going to dig into how outsourcing in a variety of different forms and configurations and values can help organizations get the most bang from their virtualization buck. That is to say, how they think about virtualization, not only in terms of placement, but in where that data center and even hybrid data centers will be residing and managed. Here to help us dig into these essential ingredients of successful and cost-effective virtualization initiatives, we're joined by three executives from Hewlett-Packard. We're going to be speaking with Michael Kendall. He's the Worldwide Virtual Connect Marketing Lead. We're also going to be joined by Shai Maulam. He's a strategic marketing lead for HP Software and Solutions. And then lastly, we're going to discuss outsourcing with Ryan Reed, a product manager for EDS Server Management Services. First, I want to talk a little bit about how organizations are moving to virtualization. We certainly have seen a lot of ready and set and go, but when organizations start looking at the complexity, when they think about scale, when they think about the need to do virtualization for the economic payoffs rather than simply moving one shell around from physical to virtual or from on-premises to off-premises, the complexity and the issues start to sink in. Let me take our first question to Shai Maulam. Shai, what is it we're seeing in terms of how companies can make sure that they get a payoff economically from this and it doesn't become complexity for complexity's sake?
Well, I think, you know, the allure of virtualization is quite great. Certainly, many companies today have recognized that consolidating their infrastructure through virtualization can reduce power consumption, space utilization, and really maximize the value of the infrastructure that they've already purchased. And so just about everybody has jumped on the virtualization bandwagon, and many companies have seen tremendous gains in their development and lab environments and in managing what I would consider to be non-mission critical production systems. But as companies have tried to apply virtualization to their tier 2, tier 1 mission critical systems, they're discovering a whole new set of issues that without effective management really run counter to the cost benefits. The fact that virtualized infrastructure has more interdependencies, there's more of a risk profile because of the services that are supported. And so I think the real challenge for those companies is putting in place the right management platform in order to be able to truly recognize those gains for those production environments.
Right, so when we talk about rethinking virtualization, I suppose that really means planning ahead and anticipating how this is going to be impacting the organization and how, in fact, that they can scale this out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
All right, well, first we're going to look at how the connections, some of the details in making physical servers become virtual servers and how that works across a network. Mike Kendall is here to tell us about HP's Virtual Connect technology. It's designed to help bridge the gap between the physical world and virtual world when it comes to the actual nitty-gritty of making networks behave in conjunction with increased numbers of virtualized server instances. This is important when we start rethinking virtualization in terms of actually getting an economic payback from the investments and the expectations that enterprises are now supporting around virtualized activities. So let me take it to you, Mike. When we go to virtualized infrastructures from traditional physical ones, what's essentially different about migrating when it comes to these network connections?
Well, there's a couple things. When you go ahead and consolidate a lot of different application instances that is normally on multiple servers, with each, and each one of those servers has a certain number of I/O for data and storage, and you put them all on one server, that does consolidate the number of servers we have. But interestingly enough, people have found that as you do that, it has a tendency to expand the number of NICs that you need, the number of connections you need, number of cables you need, the number of upstream switch ports that you need to accommodate all that extra workload that's going on that server. And so just because you can go ahead and either set up a new virtual machine or want to migrate virtual machines in a matter of minutes, it isn't as easy in the connection space where either, A, you have to add additional capacity for networks and for storage, so adding additional HBAs, adding additional NICs. But even when you go ahead and move it, then you have to go ahead and take down and reset up those particular network connections there. So being able to do that in a way that is harmonious is more challenging within a virtual machine environment.
And so it's not quite as easy as managing simply the hypervisor. We have to start thinking about managing the network. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about how the Virtual Connect product itself does that.
Absolutely. So Virtual Connect is a great example of how HP helps you achieve the full potential you get out of setting up virtual machines on a server and being able to consolidate all those workloads. So we did some basic rethinking around how do you remove some of these interconnect bottlenecks. HP Virtual Connect actually can virtualize the physical connections between both the server and the data network and the storage network. So by virtualizing these connections, it allows IT managers to like set up or move or replace or upgrade blade servers or the workloads that are on them without having to involve the network or storage folks or being able to impact the network or storage topologies. So rather than it taking like hours, days, or even weeks to get a move set up by either setting up, adding to, or moving virtual machines or physical machines, we're able to take that down literally to minutes. So the result is that most deployments or moves can be accomplished a whole lot faster. Another part of this is our new Flex 10 technology. What that basically does is it takes a 10 gigabit Ethernet connection and is able to go ahead and allocate that across four NIC connections. So this eliminates the need for additional physical NICs in the forms of mezzanine cards or stand-up cards, additional cables, additional switches when setting up all the extra connections required for virtual machines. Remember, the average hypervisor is looking for anywhere from 3 to 6 NIC connections and approximately 2 storage network connections. And so if you add that all up, that can be up to a total of 6 to 8 NICs along with the associated cables and switch ports. The same thing's true with 2 storage network connections as well. With Flex 10, you can, on an average 2-port NIC, you can go ahead and have each one of those ports be able to be 4 NICs for a total of 8 without having to add any additional stand-up cards or any additional switches or the cables with it. So as a result, from a cost standpoint, you can save up to 66% in additional network equipment costs over competing technology. So with VirtualNIC, you can wire everything once and then add, replace, recover servers a whole lot faster.
And of course, not doing this in advance would erode your ability to save when it comes to these more utilized server instances.
Yeah, that's correct. So if you can go ahead and put this technology in place ahead of time, then you can go ahead and save not only the purchase cost of all this additional hardware, but then the operational complexity that goes along with having a lot of extra equipment to have to set up, manage, and run.
Mm. Now, one of the things that folks like about virtualization is an automated approach to firing off instances of a server to support an application, for example, or a database. Does that automated elasticity of generating additional server instances follow through with the Virtual Connect technology so that it's in a sense seamless?
Well, I'm glad you added in the virtual connect part there, because if you said using standard switch technology, the answer to that would be no. With standardized switch technology and standardized NIC and SAN HBA technology, you generally have to go ahead and set up all these connections individually, and then you have to manage them individually, and then if you set up, add to, or migrate virtual machine instances, from the VM side of it, you can automate a lot of that through a hypervisor manager, but that does not extend to the attributes of the actual server connection or the virtual machine connection. Now, with Virtual Connect, the whole thing about Virtual Connect, because it does virtualize those instances in the way that you manage them, makes it very straightforward to go ahead and migrate the server connections and their profiles, not only with the movement of virtual machines, but also the movement of whole hypervisors across physical machines as well. So it extends from both the physical and the virtual and handles the automation of the migration of all those connection profiles.
Mm. All right, so we're gaining some speed here. We're gaining mobility. We're able to maintain our cost efficiencies from the virtualization because of our better management of these network issues. But don't such technologies as soft switches pretty much accomplish the same thing?
Well, soft switches can be an important part of the infrastructure you put together around virtual machines. Now, one of the things about soft switches, it's really important about how you use them. So if you actually use soft switches combined with some of the upstream switches to do all this right here, then you can also add latency to an already complex network. Now, if you use the Virtual Connect, which is based upon industry standard protocols together with a soft switch operating in a simple pass-through type of mode, then you don't have the latency problem. You maintain the flexibility of Virtual Connect. The other thing you need to be careful of as well is some of the new soft switches out there use proprietary protocol extensions to accomplish the ability to track the movement of the virtual machine along with its associated connection protocol. Mm-hmm. And this proprietary protocol, these proprietary protocol extensions sometimes require upstream products that can accept these protocol extensions and requires new hardware, new switches, and new management tools. And that can add a lot of cost to upgrading an infrastructure.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. We're now going to look at another important issue around virtualization, and that is configuration and management. This has become quite an issue in terms of complexity, managing the physical servers when we get into the large numbers in itself is complex. When we add virtualization and dynamic provisioning and looking to recover costs from energy and utilization, we add yet another dimension to the complexity. So we're going back to Shai Molam. We're going to talk a little bit about this notion of collection of data, management of data, configuring and automating along this line. So visibility into the requirements for what's going on in these virtualization instances and data centers and across the infrastructure becomes critical. How are companies gaining better visibility across the virtualized data center compared to what they were perhaps doing to the purely physical one?
Well, you know, I think IT infrastructures really are becoming more ambiguous. With the addition of virtual machines to data centers that are already leveraging other virtualization technologies in their storage area networks, virtual LANs, and so on, all of that makes knowing where a problem exists much harder to identify and fix. And that has an impact on management costs and really service quality. I think for IT to really realize the large-scale cost benefits of virtualization in their production environments, in some ways they need to prove to the business that the service performance and the quality are not going to be lost as they incorporate virtualized servers and storage to support those systems. And really the ideal approach that we've seen should include a central vantage point from which to really detect, isolate, prevent service problems across all infrastructure elements, heterogeneous servers spanning physical and virtual, network storage, and all the subcomponents of a service. And it also needs to include the ability to really monitor centrally the health of the infrastructure, but also from the perspective of the business service. In other words, be able to monitor and understand all of the infrastructure elements, how they relate to one another, servers, network, storage, and then also be able to monitor the health and the performance of the service from the perspective of the business user, a sort of bottoms-up and tops-down view, if you will. And really, this is an area that HP Software has invested in very heavily. We provide tools today that offer native discovery and dependency mapping of all infrastructure, physical and virtual, and then store that information in our central UCMDB, where we then track the makeup of a business service, all of the infrastructure that supports that service, the interdependencies that exist between the infrastructure elements, and then manage that and monitor that on an ongoing basis. We also track what has changed over time, who made the changes, what was implemented, and then who exactly made those changes, and then we can leverage that information very carefully to solve important questions with regards to how has a particular service been behaving over time. Retrieve core metrics about performance and behavior on all layers of the virtualization stack, for example, and then really use this to provide very accurate and fast problem detection and isolation and deep application diagnostics. And so this can be quite profound, and we found that through an ROI model that we worked on based on data from IDC, that effective utilization of HP's discovery and dependency mapping technology and storing that in a central UCMDB, that on average can help reduce the mean time to repair of outages by 76%, which is a massive sort of benefit, obviously, through effective consolidation of this important data.
Yeah. Now, maybe I made a mistake that other people commonly make, which is to think of managing virtualized instances as separate and different. But I suppose what we're really talking about with virtualization nowadays is it's becoming like any other system across the IT infrastructure.
Absolutely. It's part of a mix of tools and capabilities that IT has that in production environments are ultimately there to support the business. And so having an understanding, the being able to monitor all of these systems, understand their interdependencies, and manage them in an integrated way with the understanding of that business outcome is, I think, a very key part of how companies will be able to truly recognize the value that virtualization has to offer.
Okay, I think we understand the problem set around this management issue and trying to scale and bring it into the similar way in which the entire data center is managed. What about the solutions? What particularly do organizations need to consider when approaching this sort of total configuration issue?
Well, we offer a host of solutions that help companies manage virtualized environments end-to-end. But in particular, as we look at monitoring and essentially a configuration database that tracks all the core interdependencies of infrastructure and their configuration settings over time, we talk about the business service management portfolio of HP Software, which includes the discovery and dependency mapping product that I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. UCMDB is that central repository, and a number of tools that allow our customers to really monitor their infrastructure at the server level, at the network level, but also at the service level to ensure ongoing health and performance of their environment.
Right. Now, you mentioned these return on investment figures. Typically, is there any comparison to how organizations will start down the virtualization path and how they can then begin to recover more cost, to cut their total cost by adopting some of these solutions?
You know, we found we offer a very broad portfolio of solutions today to really manage many different aspects of virtualization, from testing to ensure that the performance of a virtualized environment in fact meets the business service level agreements We talked about Monitor already. We have automation as part of our portfolio to achieve efficiency in provisioning and change execution. We have a solution to manage assets so that software licenses are tracked carefully and properly. We also have a market-leading solution in backup recovery with our Data Protector offering to help customers really scale their backup and recovery capabilities across their virtualized servers. And what we found in the course of our discussions is that there are many customers that recognize that all of these are really critical and important areas for them to be able to effectively incorporate virtualization into their production environments. But generally, there is one or two very significant pain areas. It might be the inability to just monitor all of their servers, physical and virtual, on one through one single pane of glass. Or it may be related to compliance enforcement because there are so many different elements out there. And so the answer isn't always the same. We find that companies choose to start down the path of effective management through some of these initial product areas and then expand from there.
Well, I suppose it's never too late to begin if you're even partially into a virtualization initiative, or maybe even deep in and you're starting to have problems. There are ways in which you can bring in management features at any particular point in that maturity.
Yeah, we definitely support a very modular sort of offering that allows people to focus on where they're feeling the biggest pain first and then expand from there as it makes sense to them, yes.
Okay, let's now move over to Ryan Reed at EDS. As organizations get in deeper with virtualization, as they consider on a larger scale their plans for their modernization and consolidation and overall cost efficiency of their resources, how do they approach this problem of placement? It seems that when you move towards virtualization, it almost forces you to think about your data center in a more holistic, more perhaps long-term and strategic perspective.
Right, Dana. So a lot of companies, when they do consider large-scale virtualization and modernization projects, it oftentimes raises a lot of questions that help them to devise a plan, help them to devise strategy around how they're going to create a virtual infrastructure and, you know, where their infrastructure is going to be located. Some of the questions that kind of come up a lot of the times that I see are questions around, you know, the physical data center itself. Is the data center itself meeting the needs of the business? Is it designed in a way that can be built for resiliency and provide the greatest value to the business services? You'll also find that a lot of times that's not the case nowadays. For the data centers that have been built many years ago, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, the business services today demand higher levels of uptime and availability, that those kind of data centers, if they were to fail due to a power outage or some other source of failure, they're no longer being able to provide the uptime requirements for those types of business services. So it's kind of one of the first questions that a new a virtual infrastructure program raises to the program manager. Another question that often comes up is around the compute and storage network infrastructure, where they're located physically. Are they in the right places, and is it available at the right times? A lot of organizations may be required by legislative or regulatory requirements to keep their data within a particular state or country, national boundaries, or region. And so a lot of the times when people are planning for virtual server infrastructures, that comes to be a pretty prominent discussion. And then another one would be around internal skill sets of the enterprise. Does the company or the organization have the skill set necessary in-house to do large-scale virtualization and data center modernization projects? Oftentimes they don't, and if they don't, then what is their action? What is their remedy? How are they going to resolve that skill gap? And then lastly, a lot of companies, when they're doing virtualization projects, start to question whether or not all of the activities around managing the infrastructure is actually core to their business. if it's not core to their business, then maybe this is something that they don't have to be doing themselves anymore. So taking all that into consideration actually, you know, helps to kind of drive a conversation around planning and being able to create the right type of process. Oftentimes it leads to a discussion around outsourcing. EDS, which is an HP company, does provide organizations and enterprises for full IT management, IT infrastructure management, and that includes everything from the implementation to ongoing management of virtual as well as non-virtual infrastructure environments. Client data center or on-premise, as you called it, Dana, is an option that is available for a lot of enterprises out there who have already invested largely into their current data center facility as well as the infrastructure, and they don't want to necessarily move it to an outsourcer supplied data center. So on-premise is a business model that's available and becoming common for some of the larger virtualization projects. The traditional outsourcing model is one where enterprises realize that the data center itself is not a strategic asset to the business anymore. And so what they do is they pick up and they move the infrastructure to an outsourcer data center where the services provider, the outsourcing company, can provide the best services. With virtual infrastructures during the design and plan phase, this makes the most sense for these types of organizations because you're going to be doing a migration from physical to virtual anyway. So you might as well take advantage of the skills that are available from the outsourcing services provider to move that to their data center and have them apply the best in breed practices and technology to manage that infrastructure. And then you also mentioned what would be considered like a hybrid model, which would be one where virtual infrastructure and non-virtual infrastructure can be managed from either a client or organization-owned data center or the services provider data center. So there are various different models to kind of consider. A lot of the questions that lead into, you know, how am I going to plan for this type of virtual infrastructure leads into the conversation about how an outsourcer can be the most value add.
Is there anything about virtualizing your data center and more servers that makes outsourcing perhaps easier or an option that some people that hadn't considered in the past should?
Sure. Yeah. Outsourcers nowadays are very skilled at providing infrastructure services to virtual server environments. That would include things like profiling, analysis, planning, mapping of targets to source servers, creating a business value for understanding how it's going to impact the business in terms of return on investment, total cost of ownership, ROI, those types of studies, and then doing the actual implementation, the ongoing management of the operating systems, both virtual and non-virtual for guests and hosts, patching of the system, monitoring to make sure that the systems are up and running, responding to events, escalating events, and then doing things like backup and restore activities of the systems. A lot of those are really core to an outsourcing services provider's business. That's what they do. We don't expect our clients to have the same level of expertise as somebody like EDS does, just because we've been doing this for 45 years, and it's really the critical piece of what we do. So I think, you know, there's many things to consider when choosing an outsourcing provider if that's the way to go. The benefits can range dramatically from reducing your total cost of ownership to increasing levels of availability within the infrastructure, and then also being able to expand and use the services provider global delivery service centers that are available around the world. You choose the right partner, they can grow with you as your business grows. And as you expand your market presence, choosing the right services provider that has the capability and capacity to deliver in the areas that you want to grow makes the most sense. Additionally, you can take advantage of things like low-cost delivery centers that the services provider has built up over the years. Service centers that are from low-cost regions, EDS considers this to be the best shore strategy. So having resources available in low-cost countries to provide the greatest value to clients, all of those things are important when it comes to understanding, you know, what is the best approach to selecting a good services provider.
Mm. And so for those organizations that are going to be looking at these various options for sourcing, how do they get started? What's a good way to begin that, that cost-benefit analysis?
Well, there's information available. The information can be available through the EDS.com website. If you go out there and type in virtualization into the search, you'll find the first search result that comes back that has lots of information around what to expect in terms of an engagement, as well as examples of where virtualization has been done with other organizations similar to what a lot of the industry is facing out there. And so you can see a comparison of like-for-like scenarios to determine whether or not, a client engagement would make sense here based on case studies and success stories that are available out there as well. There's also industry tools that are available from our partner organizations. HP has tools available. VMware has tools available to help clients understand where savings can come from. And, of course, EDS is also available to provide those types of services for our clients too.
Mm. Okay, great. Well, we've been looking at three important angles to consider when moving to virtualization. Being aware of at a detailed level how the network interfaces and connects work, moving towards more of a virtualized approach to interconnects. We also looked at the management issues, configuration, not only in terms of how virtualized servers stand alone, if you will, and need to be managed, but how they're managed in total in terms of a part of the larger IT mix. And we also looked at how to consider some different options in terms of cost and skills, availability of resources, energy costs, and general track record of being competent and proven with virtualization in terms of various sourcing options. So I want to thank our three guests today. We've been joined by Michael Kendall, Worldwide Virtual Connect Marketing Lead at HP. We've also been joined by Shai Molam, Strategic Marketing Lead for HP Software and Solutions, and Ryan Reed, Product Manager for EDS Server Management Services. This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Harbor Solutions. We want to also thank the sponsor of our podcast discussion today, Hewlett Packard, for underwriting its production. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.